When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Gravity Leadership is a growing network of people who believe the center of the Christian life is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and that learning to take love seriously is vital for how we practice discipleship, mission, and leadership. The Gravity Leadership Podcast explores, in practical ways, how to root our lives and our leadership in this love that holds all of us and everything together.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Okay.
Everyone. Everyone listening. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast.
Wait, except for you. Not you, Ben, but...
Me?
I'm talking to our listener. There's one listener right now.
Oh, there's one listener right
who
now?
Doesn't who? Like being told hello by someone they can't see.
They're like, this violates something about, yeah, relationally.
Yeah. We're not talking to you.
Just skip forward a couple minutes.
We are not talking to you,
we're not talking
ma'am,
to you.
Sir.
Sir. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. This is Ben Sternke. I'm one of your hosts. I'm here with Matt Tebbe. Matt, before we get into the interview today, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. We're interviewing Kristen Dooley today, and she's written a book. Yeah. She's a gravity coach. She's great. Yeah. She's been working with us for a long time, but she wrote a book and it's called Left Turns. Mm-hmm. Following Jesus off the beaten path. So yep. Left Turns is the name of the book, and I'm going to make a left turn here in the middle of this interview. Matt didn't know this was coming. Mm-hmm. This is a surprise to Matt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Matt a question. Matt, mm-hmm. are you ready for your question?
Yep.
What reactive impulse do you notice in yourself and would like to release or let go of?
False.
I don't think you understand how questions work.
I predetermined my answer before you asked the question.
Oh, okay. Very,
just yeah. because that's how I handle surprise questions.
Yes, right. I already know what I'm going to say.
C.
17.
What reactive impulse?
What reactive impulse do you notice in yourself and would like to release or let go of?
Right now?
Yeah. Just or what do you general? Notice right now?
Oh.
Well, I don't know. Just what do you? What comes to mind when you hear that question? Reactive impulse. That you want to let go of.
You know, I have this serves me well. Okay. I think this serves me decently well as a podcast, uh-huh. as a podcaster, uh-huh. but I have this impulse of speaking every thought that seems important to me.
Yeah.
We just finished up a podcast with an amazing podcast we'll release in several weeks or months. Yeah. And on this podcast, I found myself not being able to ask questions or make comments as frequently as I usually do. Huh. And it was sort of a discipline of, you know what, maybe that thought you had, you'll never have it again. Maybe it'll never hit the airwaves. Maybe no one else will know you ever had that thought, and it's okay.
Yeah. Felt like a good impulse to you to just let go of the thought. It's okay. It's okay for that to just float down the stream.
Ben, just between you and me, it didn't really feel good in the
listeners,
moment.
Listeners, plug
didn't
your
feel,
ears.
It didn't feel good in the moment. Because in the moment, I felt like, gosh, I wish I could open my mouth and use my vocal cords.
Yeah.
But now, looking back on it, it's never a bad thing for me to keep my big trap shut.
Hmm. Great.
Well,
that was a very reflective answer to that question. So I asked you that question because I've been meaning to talk about this on the podcast, and I just haven't yet. But that is from this little book of cards. It's a little card book called Examine Questions from our friends at the Fall Creek Abbey. Fall Creek Abbey is a retreat house and spiritual direction ministry located here in Indianapolis by Dave and Beth Borum, who've been on the podcast.
They have.
They're also friends of ours. They go to our church. And so anyway, I've been meaning to talk about that. Like Deb and I will do these on date nights sometimes.
Oh, really?
Like just questions to kind of get us talking about more than just what the kids are doing and what errands we need to run. Like, just goes a little deeper for us. Okay. Conversation.
Okay, Ben, so, I have a surprise question for you.
Okay, we were talking about this. I hate surprise questions.
You ready?
I'm ready. Though, go ahead. Ready.
What else do you do on date night?
Oh. we typically eat something and watch a show. We're kind of boring.
Can we put a link to get these questions? Can we put a link in the show notes for this?
I was going
to
say that. We're going to put a link in the show notes. If you'd like, it's a whole pack of cards with questions like the one I just asked Matt. What new priorities in my life do I need to name and commit to? What theological or ideological beliefs do I find myself beginning to question? Hmm. It's just helping you get in touch with like what's really going on in your life or with somebody else. And so we'll put a link in the show notes to those. I found them to be a really helpful resource. I thought it was a really fun and cool idea that Dave and Beth put together.
Hmm. Yeah.
So but this that was our left turn for the podcast. But this interview is with Kristen Dooley. Again, I mentioned she is a gravity coach. She's been working with us for a long time and is a pastor at Anthem House Church in the Cincinnati area. And she's written a book called Left Turns, Following Jesus Off the Beaten Path. It's basically kind of some of her story of the unexpected turns that her life took and how she found God at present and at work in the midst of those things. When life throws you a curveball, how do you pay attention to what God's doing? How do you not sort of collapse under the weight of unfulfilled expectations, et cetera, et cetera? So she's got a great story to tell about that. And she links it up with, biblical passages and all that kind of thing. So
yeah,
she's a great teacher. Great teacher.
Yeah.
I think that's about all we need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Kristen Dooley.
Yeah.
She's awesome. I do too. And this interview's great and she's great. So
all right.
Get ready.
Enjoy it.
Hey, Kristen, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you are infamous in gravity circles. Everybody already knows you from your speaking and teaching and training and all the awesome work that you do with us. But for those who aren't familiar with you.
Well, maybe not everybody. There you go.
For those who aren't, there's a few. There's a few people in the world that don't know the Kristen Dooley. So tell us a little about yourself, what you do, how you spend your time, all those kinds of things.
So I'm married to the Dave Dooley.
I like Dave.
And we have two amazing girls. Ella is 15 and Addie is 12. They're super busy and super fun, and I just really like them. I like them more and more every day. And so they're my favorite things. But my other favorite thing is I am a discipleship pastor at a church called Anthem House in Westchester, Ohio, which is a little suburb a little bit north of Cincinnati. We planted Anthem House with some of our old-time best friends that we've been in ministry with for years. We've kind of separated, and we came back together with the whole idea of, like, we just really want to make disciples. What happens if we plant a church and we just make disciples? And so we were like, I don't know, but that sounds like something I want to do. So we've been doing that for about 4 years. We just moved into our own building, which has been amazing to have a home and to begin to build a home for our family that we're growing is just my other favorite thing to do.
Yeah, awesome. Mm. And you've written a new book.
I have.
And that's what we're going to talk about. Your new book is called Left Turns, Following Jesus Off the Beaten Path. I've got my copy right here. I got my advance copy. And the, my favorite part about it was the foreword.
Lucky.
Look, because somebody wrote that.
I got to write the foreword to this, and it's so exciting. Kristen, I say this all the time, but Kristen is my favorite speaker in the world. She's one of my favorite communicators and love doing ministry with you. And so I've gotten to hear a lot of these stories as we've been doing events and traveling with Gravity Things and with other things. So I'm really excited that the rest of the world is going to get to hear some of this material. Your book is kind of about that journey of moving from disorientation to reorientation, kind of what happens when God calls you out of a place and to a new place, or calls you off the beaten path and into a different direction, which feels really timely right now for our world, because it feels like everybody's in this crazy season of disorientation. So what excited you most about that topic, about talking about that kind of disorientation, being called off the road, journeying to a new place?
Well, I would say that when I lived it, it was not exciting. It was difficult, and it was hard to find people who I felt understood what I was experiencing, like to step off of a well-paved path that was seemingly going all of the right places and had all of the right promises, to step off of that and go what would seem like nowhere. There weren't a lot of people that I could really talk to. And so I know that I lived it. Like, I lived the book before I wrote the book, and I wrote the book because I want people to have the encouragement of, like, that step off of that path, it's actually the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, it's the best thing that's ever happened to my marriage. It is the reason why I love my kids the way that I love them. It has everything to do with why I planted and am now pastoring a church differently than I ever would have done it before. And I just didn't, like, that's hindsight for me, right? But it could be vision for somebody else. And so I just want to speak it as vision into people, like, just do this, because like, you won't be disappointed on the other side.
Yes. So there's these there's these seasons where it feels like a desert, and it feels incredibly lonely, and it feels like you're alone. I heard you mention that in what you're talking about. It feels like I'm just kind of journeying here. I'm not where I want to be, but I am where I am. And it feels like it's in those seasons where God does his best work.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen, that's a great setup. I think a lot of our listeners will be thinking, oh, well, what happened? Like, what's the story? Like, how do I know?
They should buy the book.
You do need to read
that's
the book.
That's it.
Read the book.
Thanks for being with us.
But I think it would be helpful. No, I do think it'd be helpful for people to hear a little bit of your story. We hear, kind of, we see each other in each other's stories. And so I think it'd be helpful for others who are listening to think, well, is this happening to me? I mean, maybe some of those metaphors might make sense to me, but what was the story for you? What did you step away from? How did you, why did it feel like a left turn? Give us some of those details. I think that'd
be helpful. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was 18, and ever since then have been in ministry. Like, I don't really know. I didn't know what I didn't know, and just jumped right in. And so I was at a mega church in Cincinnati at this point in time, with I knew I was called to teach. I knew I was called to write. I knew what the gifts that God had given me. And like, I had some of those promises in my head. Like, I saw pictures of, you know, like what the future looked like. And I had these dreams that I knew were from the Lord. And it would have appeared that I was on the path there, right? Like, I'm at one of the largest churches in Cincinnati. I'm surrounded by great people. There is opportunity abounds for me to pursue what I feel like God has told me is in my future. And kind of out of nowhere, I felt like I got a word from the Lord one day when I was running. And it's not like the heavens parted and he spoke in some audible voice, but deep in my heart, I just felt this like invitation to turn left. And at that point in time, turning left didn't make any sense. It took me off of the path that I was running. It was uphill in the middle of a construction zone. And so physically I did that.
Okay. So physically you, I thought this was like more metaphors, like turning left. So, like, no, literally, as you're running, turn left.
Literally running, I feel like I'm supposed to turn. And so I physically turned and began to run up this hill. Okay. And on the other side of that experience, I sort of pressed in, like asking the Father, like, what was that about? And just felt really connected. I had a moment with the Holy Spirit where it really felt like he said to me, there's a left turn coming, and it's going to kind of seem like it doesn't make sense, and it's going to take you somewhere that you didn't intend to go, and it's going to be uphill, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to have to slow down. But on the other side of that turn, I'm going to bring you back to the path. And I didn't really even know I wasn't looking for a left turn. But fast forward 6 months, and I'm resigning from my job at the mega church in Cincinnati, and I didn't have a job to go to. I didn't have a direction. I just knew that the Lord, through a series of events, had made it clear that it was time for me to turn in my resignation and to trust Him with the next step. So the book, the story of the book, is what that off the beaten path looked like for me, where it took me, how God revealed His always working, ever presence, goodness in my life, how I learned to lay down my doing and become a human being. So it's kind of those stories.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I know a little bit of your story, Kristen, so I'm cheating here a little bit. but that, that resignation wasn't just like, yeah, everything was going great. And then I just decided to resign because I had this word from the Lord, right? There was other people's choices and all kinds of other things that in the moment felt deeply difficult and tragic, and like you were losing something very precious, right? So it was, this wasn't just like your own internal motivation to say, I'm going to resign and see what's next, but there were factors outside of your control that
so
forced
many.
You into this place. Yeah,
so many things that you don't even like. I could write a book on only all of the factors of all the circumstances that were happening around me that were helping. They were cooperating with the shift that was trying to take place within me. So there were multiple contributing factors.
And there's such a, like, I think the difficulty in those seasons is we are so built on control, of wanting to manage and kind of minimize all the damage and the pain, minimize the hurt, minimize the frustration. We kind of, whenever we enter into disorientation or the desert, we just want to get out of there as quickly as possible and get back to the good stuff. But what I hear you saying, Kristen, and what I've heard you teach on so many times, which is so helpful, is that there's something really good that happens in the surrender. And there's something redeeming about the refining that happens in the middle. So tell us a little bit about, for your personal journey, what was some of the refining? Like you said, coming out of that, right, coming out of the desert, I love my kids better, and I'm a better wife, and I'm a better pastor, and those kinds of things. But in the middle of it, what was being refined in you? What were the shifts that were taking place inside of you?
Like the whole resignation part, just starting from the very beginning, just even simply laying down my desire to prove to them that I was worth a job, that I wouldn't disappoint them, that they would be glad that I was a part of their team, and to perform, because I could have and wanted to multiple times perform to earn my way into a space that would make me feel significant. And yet I had this word from the Lord to turn left, and that I wasn't supposed to be headed that direction. There was this like tension within me where I wanted to be a part of a team that I knew I wasn't really called to be a part of, but it like, so I had to really wrestle with the tension. And then, you know, laying that down and turning into that, what that looked like, going to a place where people didn't listen to my voice. They didn't care. No one knew that I had written a book. No one cared that I was a speaker. No one would ever know that I was a pastor, and to kind of lose all of those identity pieces of who I had worked all of my life to become, to sort of have those slowly stripped away from you. I mean, I remember, like, not to be over dramatic, but I remember one day sitting with my mentor, like, do I have to die every day? And like, I think that Paul kind of makes that very clear. Yes, you actually do. Because it literally felt like that in the middle. Like there were some days where I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like I can see God's presence. He reveals himself in such dramatic ways in the middle of the desert sometimes. But then there's other days where you're dead. And you're like, there's no one around. All of my friends continued to do all of the work they were already doing in ministry. I was 5 miles away, but I was a whole world away. The things that I had created were now being carried out by people who didn't know why I created them and didn't know my intentions on what I wanted to do. And other things that I had created had just been stomped on and forgotten about. And so all of that significance, that security, and that belonging that we talk about so much in Gravity with people, all of that was just like put out in literally the best picture I have is it was laid on this railroad track, and this train just ran over it multiple times until it just all right, if I have none of that, what do I have?
Yeah. So there's identity work that's happening in the middle of this, of like sure. knowing who you are. There's calling work, like a vision of what I'm supposed to do. And then there's alignment work that's happening there. And this is one of my favorite things about the book is you're such a gifted teacher, Kristen, talking around how do I align with the Father, and talking about there's the ability to discern what the Father wants us to do, right? He's asking me to go off the path, but it's one thing to just go off the path. It's another to continue to align with him every day. And doing the work of that realignment happening over and over and over again. What would you say to any listener that's feeling like, I'm in the middle of this disorientation right now, and I've heard the Lord call me off of a path, but now I'm hating every minute of my life because there's such hard work that's happening inside of me and around me that it's hard to keep pressing on. What would your encouragement with them to be so that they don't run ahead or lag behind, but they can align with the Father and allow that work to take place?
Yeah. Man, I think I literally had maybe three lifelines, right? Like there was worship and there was the Word, and then there was my community. Mm-hmm. And like, it's really hard to worship and like to really worship and to mean it and to feel it and to be in the presence. It's really hard to worship and then to worry about what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And then like the Word of God it was a weapon for me with my feelings, right? My feelings would tell me to feel one thing and to do one thing, and the Word of God would tell me a different thing. And so I almost had to learn how to parent my feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you're feeling this right now, but the truth is this. What I know in my head is this. And so what I knew in my head, I would tell to my heart. And I would just say it over and over again. I had to parent myself in an annoyingly present way, actually. Mm-hmm. And then my community, like there were just a very few people that I, on those really bad days, like I just... instead of isolating myself and sitting in like a depression place, which is what I wanted to do, I would find those people and I would just like sometimes I almost had to make myself reach out to them. Like, hey, I want to sit in bed all day and be depressed. And then they would be like, come have lunch with me. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that? I don't want to go have lunch with them. But like, you have to be with people during that those disoriented places.
This podcast is brought to you by Gravity Leadership Academy, our 10-month online training intensive for Christian leaders who want to root their life and leadership in God's love and bring lasting transformation to their culture. In Gravity Leadership Academy, you'll learn the real-life practicalities of how to notice God's presence and activity in and around you so you can participate more fully in God's life and mission, and open up space for those around you to do so too. We've worked really hard to make this training in missional leadership practical and doable. To find out more about Gravity Leadership Academy, visit gravityleadership.com/academy.
Yeah, Kristen, that it's interesting to me. I think a lot of times when this is a multi-layered question. I'm trying to figure out how to get it all out here. So you, in this book, you utilize a lot of the same framework that we use in our training, right? So a lot of the axioms show up here where, for example, God is always present and at work. And these kind of function as good news that you can hold on to when in the midst of trials, tribulations, hard times, you're tempted to tell yourself a different story about what this means and why this is happening, right? That there's these things that you can hold on to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our axioms are there. And I'm also struck by how even the way you started was saying, like, you've got this word from the Lord, which, you know, some people may know kind of what that feels like. Other people might not. Other people might be like, well, how would I know if I got a word from the Lord? And the Lord's never told me to turn left while I'm jogging, or that kind of a thing. But I think sometimes we have this sense that a word from the Lord is like this predictive thing where it's like the Lord's going to predict the future to us. But I see your word functioning a little bit more like this beacon of good news that you needed to keep holding on to, right? It wasn't just predicting, hey, something's going to happen, get ready. But it was this sense of, as the thing was happening and as it was really hard and really difficult, your feelings were telling you, here's what this means. It means you're dying. It means it's over. It means you're not called. It means you were an idiot to leave. It means, you know, that kind of a thing. And you needed to hold on to the good news, right? And mm-hmm. so that's a big part of our training as well, like declaring mm-hmm. good news and just taking practical steps of obedience to that good news, practical steps of surrender into mm-hmm. that good news. So I'm hearing in what you're saying that these things have to happen. It's not one big sort of overture to the Lord, right? It's not like, here's my whole life, Lord, and I'm going to do this so hard one time that it's going to like keep me for the rest of my life. But no, every single day you have to get up and say, I don't want to get out of bed, you know, because I think it's over. But, you know, someone from your community says, no, let's have lunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not over. You know, there's another step for you to take, and it's put food in your mouth, you know,
keep going
with me, talk to me and put food in your mouth, you know,
that's good news sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good news. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I agree with that completely. And I think the temptation, Ben, is mm-hmm. to look at this as, once I get here, mm-hmm. then,
yeah.
And the invitation is to realize it's a journey and it's day in and day out. And yes. I had good days and then I had bad days and mm-hmm. I had easy days and then I had really hard days. Yeah. And I think it's that word, when you said that, that word offered me encouragement in the midst mm. of, it was, so I think a good way to describe it was steady for me.
Yeah.
No matter what happened, the steady was God promised me this. And if he's promised me this, he who is promised is faithful.
Yes.
And if I really believed that, then I would trust that. And
And that, I love that word promise, which is so different from, I think sometimes we have this sense that the way that the Lord communicates to us is only through instructions, right? He's going to tell me what to do. And if I just could figure out what to do, and if I'm having a hard time, it means maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. But actually, I think most of the Lord's speech to us is proclamation. It's good news. It's promise. It's here's what's true. Actually, right now, in the midst of your bad day, I'm here. I'm working. Even though you can't see it, I'm working. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what we need if we're going to take those left turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an invitation from the Father.
Yeah.
To believe what's true, but then also to walk in it. So Kristen, what were some, I know that you're an amazing teacher, but you're also a great coach and trainer. And so that's one of the things I love about being around you, is I get challenged in some of those things. What are some of the practices that you would encourage when people find themselves off the beaten path? I'm hearing you talk about some listening exercises, contemplation, just being with the Father, some kind of presence exercises of like paying attention, surrender. Like, what are some of the things that you would say, here are exercises that are worth your time when you're off the beaten path?
So I remember very quickly, I sat down like day two, maybe, in my chair at my house, like, okay, Lord, I have my journal and my Bible, and all right, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And in that moment, right away, as soon as I posed that question to him, I knew, like, it's like I caught myself, like, why do I have to do something to be good in the presence of the Father? And so I literally, and I coach people to do this all the time, like, I want you to do nothing. Mm. Like, don't do anything. And which is hard for anybody, but if you've grown up in the church leadership culture, it's really hard because we've spent our lives doing and rescuing and restoring. Like, we have been the human doers that produce and perform. And so I remember, like, what does it look like to do nothing? And I talk about this a little bit in the book, but like, my kids became my teachers. And so one of the practices was I studied my kids, because at that time they were young and they were really good at doing nothing and not feeling guilty about it. Yeah. They could waste time. They could ruin resources. They could make messes. And like, they just didn't worry about what I should be doing something that's productive right now. I should not be making a mess of this. And so I became a child, and I let my kids begin to teach me how to do nothing and to enjoy it. And it was not easy. I colored a lot. I played a lot of Nintendo. I think I got to like level I don't even know, embarrassing level on Mario Brothers.
Well done. Well done.
I watched every episode of Fixer Upper and Friends consecutively. And it really, that was the biggest practice. The other one that stands out to me is I worshiped. And, you know, it wasn't pretty because there were days where God felt unkind some days to me. Like this promise is hard and I don't know if I trust it. It doesn't feel good right now. And on those days, I would be home alone because I didn't have a job and my kids were at school. And I would put, I had a couple specific songs that really spoke to my heart at the time. And I would put one of those on and I literally would listen to it until I could sing it. And you know, at first when you're angry, right? Like you can't, it's like when you have a fight with your husband or with your wives and like, you can't smile yet because you're still angry. And so like you're talking in your harsh voice and, but you know, you're going to get there, right? You're going to get to a place where you reconnect and you smile and you pull them in close. And so like, I would walk through that with the Father in my worship songs. Like I would not be able to sing it at first. And then I would listen to it again. And then I might be able to say a couple of the words, but definitely not the chorus because it always talked about good Father or something. And so I would like get quiet during that space. And I would just walk around my house and like listen to those until I could sing them and like sing them loud. And it's almost like a reminding my heart that just because it's hard, it doesn't mean that it's not holy. And it doesn't mean that like he's not present. And giving myself the time and the space to like get to a place of connection with him. When I wanted to kind of self-protect and disconnect.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm struck by the fact that you're giving yourself permission to grieve in there, that you're giving yourself permission to wrestle with God, that you're giving yourself permission to ask tough questions of God, and trusting that what's on the other end of that is good news.
Yeah, and you know, I even said this in the book, but I think I've learned this at Gravity, like with you guys and coaching lots of people, but what happens when we begin to see our wrestling as worship? Because I wasn't wrestling because I wanted to go do really bad things.
Yeah,
right.
I was wrestling because I wanted to surrender. Like I was wrestling to do what the Father was inviting me and promising me was mine. And so every bit of my wrestling was worship to him, even when I couldn't sing. Because I wasn't singing for the right reasons, because I was becoming aware of my heart and I was allowing my heart to hurt and I was loving myself in the middle of like my badness. And so that was worship to him, where in the past I would have shamed myself for, you know, why you sing those songs? How dare you not believe those songs and those words?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's deep theological shifts that are taking place in you in those seasons. So for me, when I'm in the middle of my desert, I just kept saying to God, like, I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do. Like, why is this so hard? Like, I feel like I'm doing all the right things. Could you give me something here? But understanding and wrestling through that stuff is where the good work kind of begins to take shape. And you start to see with new eyes and your paradigm gets shifted and your theology begins to shift and you start to understand, where is God in our pain? And what is God doing when things don't work out the way that I want it to? And what does surrender really look like? All of those incredibly difficult things begin to happen right in our hands. That's why we say discipleship is just being present in your everyday life. Like your curriculum for discipleship is your life. It's what's happening day to day over and over again. So Kristen, on the other side of all of that, kind of where you are now, after kind of passing through, you know, getting off the beaten path and figuring out how to align and all of these changes and challenges that have taken place, what's the fruit that you've seen from doing the hard work in off the path?
Freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one word, the one generic word.
And freedom from what specifically, Kristen, for you?
For me, freedom from performance, freedom from pressure, control. I'm a three on the Enneagram, so freedom from my need to achieve,
to be
defined by my latest and greatest achievement. Not only do I not have to run the race anymore. If I'm running it, I don't even care if I win it. Right? Like I used to only, like if I signed up for a race, I had to run first of all, and then I had to outperform whoever I was with or whatever I put in my head, I had to outperform them. Now I could walk the race and be content if I was surrounded by the right people while I was walking. So I just found a lot of freedom. I just said to Dave the other day, actually, which is such good news for who I am. I was driving to the church to work on Tuesdays because that's what I do. And I was like, I have to get into a rhythm of going to the church and like working all day on Tuesdays because there's a lot to do, right? Like you don't plan a church and not have stuff to do. And he's like, well, I don't understand. Like, why are you telling me this? I'm like, because I need someone to help me stop having so much fun so that I can actually get something done. And like, I just never had fun before. Like, because there wasn't time for fun. There was work to be done, souls to be saved, right? Like I had to produce and perform and figure out, and everything fun took aside to getting that achievement done. And so freedom to me looks like fun. Like my life is like, it's hard and, you know, fun at the same time.
Yeah.
I play soccer and I go outside with my kids and I go out on the boat a lot. And there's no voice in the back of my head saying you should be doing this.
I think that's, that is, it's beautiful to see that. I'm reminded of, I'm constantly reminded of Dallas Willard quotes, but he used to say that what God gets out of our life is the person we become.
Yeah.
And so like, it's fun to hear you articulate, Kristen, that this left turn wasn't just about a new assignment. It wasn't just, hey, I want you to stop being a pastor at a mega church and plant a church. It wasn't just about that. It was about, it was about something that God was wanting to do in you, so that he could do it through you, which again is, you know, that's one of our axioms. And so there was a work that was done in you that that is a beautiful, like, primary thing that God is doing in the midst of this. It's not just what you do. It's not just how you serve, but it's who you are. And God was giving you a gift in sort of bringing you into this new life, this new way of, like, I can have fun now.
You know,
I can
and
relax. Isn't that beautiful?
I would even take it one step further because like I didn't know that I was going to plant a church. Had I known that, I would have said, well, I'm just going to do this for the good of the cause, right? I'm going to just let the Lord work in me so that he can then work through me. But I didn't know what it looked like to come back. Like I was right in the desert. And so he literally was just working in
That's
me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why or where or how and what it was going
to
be. The temptation in the beginning.
It wasn't like the boot camp to get you ready to plant the church.
Right. Like the temptation in the beginning of it all was like, oh, these are great sermon illustrations.
I'm gonna write a book.
Right. Like my temptation was to still do it for other people, to still do it as a person, a doer. But the invitation, like he just kept me there long enough to put me to rest and to allow me to learn to absorb, like even if he only did it for me and nobody ever knew what was happening, it was enough and it was perfect and it was good.
So good.
I think if we know the end result, I think we would inevitably short circuit the work that needs to be done.
Totally would have done that.
And you're telling
God knows
this
our
is
stupidity.
The Christian story. This is the Christian story. You go into the, like, it's you die in order to live, you know. You go into the desert and you're like, well, I guess I'm dying now, you know, and it's over and you give up and then you're raised from the dead. So it's beautiful to hear some of your story, Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen, thanks, it's a wonderful book. And I want to encourage everybody's listening to go out and get a copy of it. Where do people find a copy of it, Kristen?
I mean, right now the best place is probably Amazon or at Barnes & Noble online. And then it will be hopefully littered out in a couple of those brick and mortar bookstores eventually. Mm-hmm. All of that happens. You can pre-order it right now. It will come out on September the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right.
Well, thanks for being with us,
Kristen. We'll put a link to that stuff in the show notes.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Thanks for being with us, Kristen.
Great to be with you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Our show is produced by Ben Sternke, Matt Tebbe, and Ben Hardman. Aaron Sternke does our mixing and mastering. You can check out his work at aaronsternke.com. If you find our podcast helpful, share it with your friends in person and on social media. And don't forget to rate and review us online, as well as subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can join our Gravity community for free at gravityleadership.com/join. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join. And hey, we'd love to hear from you. Ask a question, make a comment, send us an idea, a recommendation, recipe, whatever. You can email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.